At this time, we'll turn the prayer over to Sister Ann. She's going to bring the sermon today.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to you. I hope you had a blessed week. Amen. And that at this day that God has given us to draw closer to Him and to seek His will, that we draw closer to one another. When I Wilhelmina asked me if I would speak, I readily agreed because I had already had my sermon in mind. It was one that I do sometimes, well, it's part of one that I do on a with Morning Glory with the South Atlantic conference in the mornings. And you know how God is. When you think you've got it right, He sends you in an entirely different direction. And that's what He did. And I kept asking, "Are you sure, Lord? I mean, you know, are you sure?" And He did. And I thank Him because whenever I speak, it is a message that He is trying to teach me. It is a depth of relationship that He's telling me that I need to go. So as I deliver this message, I hope that you will glean from it and that the Holy Spirit would impress upon you what God wants you to do. Before I get into my message, I want us to turn to 326 again and sing the first stanza, "Open My Eyes," because that's what this sermon is going to be, that our eyes may be open and that our ears may hear. We're just going to do the first stanza of that, 226.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illuminate me, Spirit divine.
Father in heaven, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we come with our hearts open. We come, Lord, willing to hear from heaven. Lord, I ask that You would let it not be me, but it be the Holy Spirit that speaks through me. Let Your presence draw near to us, Lord. Let us glean what it is that You would have us, Your church, Your remnant church with this last day message to be able to tell to the world. But Lord, as Solomon has said, that there is nothing new under the sun. So we know that the message that will be given here, Lord, and the message as we look as how Christ dealt with the disciples, that He will also deal with us. Again, let Your Spirit be present. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title I chose, and it is a question that Jesus posed to His disciples: how is it you did not understand? Now, how I got to that verse, and that's where I tell you how I got working that, but that stuck out at me when I was reading, and that's the change in the sermon that I was going to, God wanted me to do. Turn in your Bibles to Mark, the 8th chapter, I'm going to read verses 11 through 21. Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 21. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting in the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they responded among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Why did Jesus pose this question to the disciples? As we look back and read in the events that had taken before he got to this point, and then the event that happened after that, this was a crucial point for the relationships between Christ and his disciples. How is it you do not understand? Let us just recap the events that led up to this question of Jesus. In Mark, the 4th chapter, in verses 34 through 39, we find that Jesus is speaking to the multitudes in parables. In fact, he'd given the parable of the swords and various parables. But to his disciples, he pulled them aside and explained in depth what these parables meant. When there was a great storm that arose, Jesus was asleep. The disciples called on him, and he arose and rebuked the wind by saying, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the sea obeyed his command. If we go to Mark chapter 5, we find Jesus attending to the needs of others. We find out that he cast out the evil spirits from the madman at Gadarenes. We find that Jairus, one of the men of the synagogue, came to him telling him that his daughter was sick and that he wanted him to go because he knew that if Jesus touched her, she would be healed. But on his way, and this is what we find Jesus, on his way, in his midst, there was a woman who had issue of blood for 12 years, had spent all that she had seen all of the expert doctors in that particular time. Yet she had that faith and she believed that if she could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. Jesus commended her for her faith and says, "Your faith has made you well." Go on now to chapter 6. Jesus goes to his own country to spread the good news, and he teaches in the synagogue on the Sabbath. His countrymen question his authority, even though they had heard of the many deeds of healing, him reviving the dead. They could not get past the idea that Jesus grew up among them as one of them. They could not recognize and give him credit for the mighty work that he had done. Jesus marveled at their belief, and scripture says that in his own town, he could do no great works because of unbelief. Now, Jesus commissioned his 12 disciples to go out two by two on a missionary trip. He told them that they were to preach to the people that they are to repent for the forgiveness of their sins. He gave them power over unclean spirits. And when they anointed those who were sick with oil, they were healed. He empowered them. Also in this chapter 6, we find that Jesus feeds 5,000 plus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and that afterward they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, as it was always his habit or his schedule, is that he knew he needed time with the Father, so he sent his disciples to the other side while he decided to go to pray and to commune with the Father. As the disciples were rowing, a turbulent wind came up and they were struggling. And all of a sudden they saw Jesus walking on the water. And they called out to him in distress and despair. And as always, Jesus answered. He responded to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." He enters the boat, and as he enters the boat, the wind subsides. That is the way he is when he enters into our lives. Even though there may be turmoil, there may be things that we are not able to understand that are going on. When Jesus enters our lives, calm and peace comes over us. The disciples were amazed and they marveled. Now here we see that the disciples have been with Jesus for some time. They have seen him do many, many miracles. So do you see why he posed that question? How is it you do not understand? How is it that you do not know that I will take care of you? Scripture says they had not understood when he fed the 5,000 that God will provide for all of our needs. And it said their hearts were hardened. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems imaginable that one could be in the presence of God and yet your heart be hardened. And especially those that he had chosen, handpicked, to be those who would proclaim his gospel to the world. Yet their hearts were hardened. Let us continue on. Now the Pharisees and the scribes confronted Jesus about the disciples eating without washing their hands. Jesus rebuked them, saying, "You teach the doctrine of man and reject the commandments of God." He explained that it is not what enters a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him that defiles him. The disciples asked for an explanation, and Jesus asks again, "Are you thus without understanding also? What enters from the outside does not defile, because it does not enter the heart, but the stomach, and it is eliminated. What comes out of a man is that which defiles, for it comes from within. It comes out of one's heart. Out of the heart or the mind proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders." He lists the things: pride, deceit, foolishness. He says it is all of these things that defile a man. Again, we find Jesus meeting the needs of those who are in need. And the thing about it is that Jesus met everyone where they were. And this was a Syrophoenician woman. And you know what's amazing in this is that the Gentiles were the ones that Christ commended for having great faith in him, for believing in him. And this Syrophoenician woman came to him and said, "My daughter is possessed with a demon. Will you please heal her?" Now, from his reaction, I can presume that he was probably in a more predominantly Jewish audience there because, you know, he said, "Why should he take that from those and give to dogs?" But yet this woman was very persistent. She had faith. She said, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from thy master's table." So here he said, "Because of your great faith, your daughter is healed." Here again, causes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. How is it you do not understand? Again, Jesus shows to his disciples how the Father will provide. As he fed the 4,000 plus with 7 loaves and a few fish. And then they picked up, and I had not noticed this. The Bible makes that distinction. It says 7 large baskets. So evidently there was a distinction between the 12 and the 7 that they picked up that were collected. Now, as always, his nemesis, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had been following Jesus along, and at each confrontation, Jesus had shown their true heart. And so what they did at this time, they thought again that they would confront Jesus. And they said to him, "Jesus, show us signs from heaven to prove your authority." In fact, they were testing him. And Jesus asked, "Why does this generation seek a sign? No sign shall be given to this generation." And then the disciples really did not understand that. And Jesus told them, he said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." The disciples thought Jesus was talking about the loaves of bread that they had forgotten to bring, that they had picked up. Jesus said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, you do not see, and having ears, you do not hear, and you do not remember." And he repeated to them again, which was in the text that I read, "When I fed the 5,000, how much was left over? 12 baskets. When I fed the 4,000, how much was left over? 7 large baskets." And the question he said, "How is it that you do not understand?" That I don't want you to be concerned about the temporal things of this world. I want you to be concerned about my Father and his love to the world. I want you to be concerned about those who are lost and need to hear of the great love of a Savior. Now, why I say at this point that this was really crucial, because if you read on past that, Jesus asks his disciples a very, very crucial question. Now, you've been walking with me all this time. You've seen what I have done and how the Father has provided for all that is needed. And yet, you do not understand. And the reason he asked that question following that, because this point he had to know who had his back. So he became, as Jesus always is, very direct. At this point after that, he asked them, who do men say that I am? They gave the answers. Some say you're John the Baptist, because early on, that's what Herod had thought, that Jesus was the reincarnation of John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elijah. But then Jesus got very personal. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, as always, acknowledged. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So how is it that you do not understand? You have seen how I've cared for those in need, and how I have preached what God's kingdom is like. Why do you still not believe? Do you also seek signs as the Pharisees and scribes? He had to know and have a commitment from them who they thought he was. How about us? How is it that we do not understand? How is it that we do not perform the mission that he has given to us as a Remnant Church? Are we still blinded to the truths that God has revealed to us through his word? Are we still seeking and looking for temporal signs? Do we ask God, why me? Why am I suffering? Why am I not more prosperous? Why am I not healed? Why? And he poses the question to us, how is it you do not understand? Jesus has told us to be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. He's told us to cast all of our cares and anxiety upon us, for he cares for us. He has left us in his word the prescription of how to find joy amidst this, in this world. In fact, James tells us, and this is, if you want to turn this is in James, the first chapter, the second through the fourth verse. He says, my brethren, count it all joys when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that she may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Jesus has told us that we will have trials and tribulations. He's given us this word that we can read how he's helped others. And he told us that we would be more than conquerors, that we would be victorious. So how is it that we in this day and time do not understand? Are we so engrossed with the present that we have forgotten all that Jesus has done for us in the past? Are we still concerned what the world thinks of us, that we take the word of man over the commandments of God? Are we daily seeking to address our temporal needs, that we are slack in building our relationship with God? Are our hearts broken over the unsaved and the marginalized. For us, church, the message is that we ought to understand that Jesus came into the world to save those that are lost. And if we do not reach out, whether it be in our home, whether it be in our neighborhood, whether it be a stranger, we can all be missionaries here. That we need to tell the world that Jesus is coming again. And he has told us that he doesn't desire that one of his creatures be lost. So, how is it we do not understand what our mission and what our purpose is here on this earth? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses, and I'm going to start reading at verse 6. It reads, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." That is our mission. That is what we need to ask. How is it we don't understand what God wants us to do? He has given it to us in his word. He's given it to us through the inspired words of Ellen White, that we are to go out and to preach this gospel to all the world, whether it be great or whether it be small. Do what God has for us to do. And I would like to close by reading an excerpt from Ellen White's This Day with God that says to us as a church. It says, "The church is to work actively as an organized body to spread abroad the influence of the cross and the love of God." We ought to do this work unselfishly, to give truth to those that are nigh and far away, to those in our home, to those in our neighborhood. That way, we are laboring together with God. God expects us in his service to contend for those who are lost. He expects us to be aggressive, and aggressive not to the point of being obnoxious, but to be aggressive in the work that we do. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The life of the church depends on the interest which its members manifest in those outside of the church. And I think our Sabbath School Quarterly is doing a good job of telling us or giving us examples of how we are to do that, is that our ministry is outside of these four walls. How is it you do not understand? Let us seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We have no reason for being faithless or complaining. Let us cease all fault finding and murmuring, and encourage a spirit of gratitude for past mercies and blessings. Let us praise the Lord with gratitude for the light of his word that he has given to us. As he asked the disciples, "How is it you do not understand?" I ask of us as a church. How is it we do not understand the mission that God has given for us to do? He said that we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. He's told us who our neighbor is. He's told us how he has shown us that he is faithful. His mercies endures forever and ever. And most of all, he's shown us that no greater love can anyone have, that he would lay down his life for his friend. Christ laid down his life for me, for you, for those who are out there in the world that's lost. He paid it all. So, how is it we do not understand? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, that your word tells us what your mission is for us as the Remnant Church, Father. That your Holy Spirit empowers us, Lord, to spread the word to all those who are lost, Lord. And that you have asked us to seek safety in your hands and in your will. Help us, Lord, not to forget those things that you have done for us in the past, that our eyes are not open, that we cannot see, that our ears are closed, that we cannot hear, and that our hearts are hardened, that we have no compassion. Let your spirit come in, Lord, and change us, that we may see each person we come in contact with as a child that you deserve and that you desire to save and to see in your kingdom. Help us to understand what your will is for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.